the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen. This and other great health talk shows at RadioMD.com. Here are Joe Galewski and Dr. Michael Roizen, MD.
The passionate radio show that helps you take control of your genes to become the world expert on your body. It's you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen, Chief Wellness Officer at the Cleveland Clinic. Welcome in. I'm Joe Galewski. To reach us today on the show, on the phone, 877-711-5211, 877-711-5211, and udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. iHeartRadio Talk. You can add Radio MD, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show, to the Daily Pulse on iHeartRadio Talk. Go to iHeartRadio.com. You can download the app, use it on the web. If you use it on the web, go to Talk, click Talk in the main menu and search for You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show. Hello, Dr. Mike.
Hello, Joe.
E-cigarettes at 35 minutes after the hour. We have a guest segment coming up on that.
Absolutely. You know, not only a guest, but the world's best guest for all tobacco information, Stanton Glantz. He was one of my idols when I was at UC San Francisco, so he must be a really old guy now. But in any case, he really did transform the landscape for smoking and secondhand smoke. Got the data on how important secondhand smoke was in causing disease and heart attacks and other medical problems, and is really the master of this field. And it'll be very interesting to hear what he has to say about e-cigarettes. Are they just a gateway to smoking cigarettes? Do they cause, if you will, heavy lead or other toxicity in the air we breathe? Or are they fine and a great way of for people to get off cigarettes? So we're going to find the facts out from him, what the data really are, and what his impression are. He's really the master, Joe.
And more teenagers are trying it, too, I know.
Right. The fastest growing population for this is teenagers, which I think is a worry, meaning this may be a, if you will, a gateway drug to smoking. But we're going to find out what the real data is from Stanton Glantz.
A noticeable increase in kids starting in the sixth grade. That can't be good.
It certainly can't be. I don't know what else you can say other than, to me, it looks like Bridget doesn't have any e-cigarette or other cigarette exposure.
How the heck are they getting? How are they getting an e-cigarette in sixth grade? How are they getting an e-cigarette?
You can buy e-cigarettes are not regulated for age, so anyone can buy or sell. Well, but ask Stanton that. He's a great resource. We have. If you've got questions about this, anyone's got questions, they should send them to us at udocs@gmail.com, because we will have the world's expert on.
I only have a chance for one question, so I have to make it now.
Well, Joe, we'll give you a second today.
If I ask more than one question, I get the fisheye from you. You know what I mean? You look at me with that jaundiced eye. It's time to move on for Dr. Mike's segment. I'll pick a question. Maybe I'll ask that one. Went out to dinner last night at a steak place, and I got to tell you.
No.
Hold on. I didn't eat steak.
You ordered salmon.
I ordered salmon. And mixed vegetables. But I got to tell you, blooming onions were coming out of the kitchen like they're nobody's business.
Oh, man. Blooming onion is the worst food served in America.
I know. But they were coming out of that kitchen like they were giving away. What we do now when I go to a restaurant.
Well, they ought to give them away and just collect the what it would cost in medical costs. Because each one, you know, I can't even remember. I think it was 2,300 and some calories and 120 grams of saturated fat.
Yeah, nothing but grease.
Yeah. No. It is the other foods with it, sugar and simple carbs, and there was something else. The only, you can't get in here the onion part with it, but it was an enormous amount of calories.
You were getting on me unduly until Bridget jumped in and stopped you from...
Well, I had
me.
A feeling because you've been making very good
you
choices
bet.
When you've been eating out lately.
I got the salmon and the mixed vegetables. I had iced tea and no dessert. Never have dessert. when do we go out? But the Bloomin' Onions were coming out of there like every 3 minutes. I pay attention to what people eat now, and I walk by tables. Well, I get a study. I get a feel for what people are eating, and it doesn't look too good.
That's a good way to do it.
Doesn't look too good.
I went out to dinner the other night and at a sushi restaurant, and they told my brother that the meal that he was getting, that he had to get pop, and my brother didn't want pop. So he was like, okay, can I just get water, and you can charge me for pop? Mm-hmm. And the waiter said, yeah, we have to, so we'll just charge you $2, and I guess you can just get water instead.
Why? What is this?
At the sushi restaurant that we went to?
You have to get pop?
Yeah, you have to get pop.
I think my guess is the sushi is not real fish at that restaurant.
Well, it's like a good sushi restaurant in Cleveland, and they force you.
You can't be serious. They force you to buy pop.
Well, they don't force you. They pay you that you have to spend $2 so you can reject the pop and spend $2 on the water.
Yeah. How much would you get, beer or wine?
Well, my brother's 16, so he didn't really ask that question.
We could have bought you a drink.
That's true.
Well, anytime there's fish, I get the fish. But I see something today in your notes about why you should avoid eating tilapia. What's wrong with tilapia?
Well, tilapia is the closest thing to chicken with fins. That is, tilapia is raised on soy and cornmeal. Mm-hmm. So it really is omega-6 fats, so it doesn't have fish fats. And then many people fry it, and that frying picks up the frying fat. So it has none of the benefits and all of the sadnesses of fried food.
Mm.
But if you don't fry it, then it's okay.
Yeah, what do you think about it? You're an expert in this.
I mean, I think that it's fine. I eat tilapia personally.
I like it.
But fishes like salmon have more omega-3s, which is the major benefit. And like Dr. Royzen said, tilapia has omega-6s, which, I mean, they're both essential fats, but the westernized diet is very high in omega-6 fats, and that is also found in vegetable oils and things like that. So in order to decrease your cholesterol levels, it is better to incorporate more foods with omega-3s.
Yeah, now the tilapia is also, a large portion of it is farmed outside the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So it's farmed in China and Chile. And when they have looked at the tilapia that is farmed outside the United States, there are major contaminants in much of the tilapia. So that's one of the problems. It turned out dioxins, which are cancer-causing agents, were very high in tilapia. So today, celebrate something new, Joe.
Well, my priority list when we go to eat, we don't eat out very frequently, which is we eat home most cases. Treat once a week, maybe twice a week. So it's the fish first, then I go to the chicken second, and you know, by then I usually pick fish or chicken. So I don't want that evil eye from you when I.
Well, Joe, you know, you still haven't picked a game to come to wonderful downtown Cleveland. And looking at the weather outside tonight, tonight's not a good night to drive here.
It's a very wintry weekend for some folks in the East Coast.
But you know what happened today? Today is a record day.
How so?
I think today is the day that, in fact, people have to put on the country of origin on the meat products and poultry products and fish products.
Oh, is that right? Yeah.
So you'll know if your tilapia, at least when you buy it in the store, what country it comes from.
Oh, is that right? That's for all over? That's an FDA regulation now?
It's actually an Obamacare regulation.
Okay. So if you pick a meat product or a fish, it tells you where the origin is.
I think that went into effect today.
Mm-hmm.
We'll find out. I will.
Yeah, I'll Google it. I didn't know.
we'll firm that up. We'll go to the break in a minute. It's 877-711-5211 on the telephone. You have an email question or a comment for Dr. Mike Bridget. Not me. I'm just moving things along here. It's udocs@gmail.com. youdocs@gmail.com. Coming up after the break, we'll talk about the hospital room of the future. And kids today are less fit than their parents were. Kids today would take about a minute and a half longer to run a mile than those of the same age 30 years ago. Next, You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Mike on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You still rely on sugar or caffeine for energy? B12 is known as the energy vitamin. It nourishes your body, supporting mental function and vitality. Problem is, B12 is hard to absorb. Did you know a recent study showed almost 4 out of 10 people had B12 levels in the low normal to deficiency range? This applied to both young and old, even those with adequate meat intake. So, it isn't just vegans or older folks who need to be concerned. Until now, the alternative was getting a shot at the doctor's office. What if we had a B12 offer that was simple? Liposomes deliver B12 painlessly. No doctor visit. Why not discover what B12 can offer you? Drink the new liposomal form. Right now, you can get a bottle for 50% off at B12offer.com. This limited time B12 offer is unique and it's easy. Just go to B12offer.com for 50% off. That's B12offer.com.
I can solve difficult problems for a Fortune 500 company.
I can run a successful business.
I can put my military experience to work for your company.
I can manage your home improvements.
I can publicize your message.
I can teach your children.
But I can't put my skills to work for your organization
if I'm not given the opportunity.
Nearly 50 million Americans have disabilities. Capitalize on their talents with employment practices that benefit everyone. Learn more at whatcanyoudocampaign.org.
Hi, I'm Olympic gold medalist Shawn Johnson. I want to make sure you know about the March of Dimes March for Babies. This walk is really special to me. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, which is not an ideal way to start. Every day, babies start life the same way, with the odds stacked against them. Their first steps are made possible by ours, all of ours. Take the first step at marchforbabies.org. Let's walk together for stronger, healthier babies.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. Kids often test parental limits and rules, and sometimes parents decide enough is enough. That's when a timeout may be effective. Timeouts stop children from getting attention after they misbehave. Timeouts work best for children between the ages of 2 and 5, but can be effective for kids as old as 10 in some cases. A rule of thumb is 1 minute of timeout for every year of your child's age. For example, a 4-year-old would get a 4-minute timeout. Some guidelines for a timeout. Give the timeout immediately after the unacceptable behavior so your child knows why she's being disciplined. Explain clearly why the behavior was unacceptable. Calmly place your child in a quiet, boring, but secure place. If she gets up, quietly explain that her timeout isn't over and return her to her seat. When it is over, wipe the slate clean and remember to praise your child each time and every time she shows acceptable behaviors. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Hey, we're brought to you by YouBeauty.com and Morning Night Multivitamins, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs@gmail.com. Today's kids can't keep up with their parents. On average, it takes kids about a minute and a half longer to run a mile than their counterparts did 30 years ago. Heart-related fitness has gone down 5% per decade since 1975 for kids between the ages of 9 and 17. Dr. Mike, makes sense. We have kids that are less active today than they were before, right?
Absolutely, and schools have cut out some of the recreation periods. So the average kid, you know, the kid who's still involved in sports probably gets even faster than parents. But the every other kid doesn't get the physical conditioning routinely in many schools. How about in Syracuse? Do they have recreation, if you will, or phys ed as part of the normal curriculum in grade school?
Oh, yeah. In the suburban schools, there was an issue with the inner city schools to eliminate a phys ed in favor of a study hall or a study period. But there, believe it or not, there was kind of a complaining from some parents saying they'd prefer to have the kids do a physical, you know, physical period than the. Well, the thing that is startling to me about this is that they say this is the most non-active generation of kids in the country's history, and this is a generation of people that will more likely have to bury their children before the parents pass away. To me, those are two things that make this story pretty striking.
Whoa, that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I expected my grandkids to support me.
When you put it in those terms, it is very, you know. But there's a stranger danger, right? I mean, people, they're teaching kids to avoid everybody that they don't know. To a certain extent, that's probably a good thing to do. But less than 5% of kids who are kidnapped or abducted come from outside sources. It's typically friends and family. So I think parents are reluctant to get their kids outside. And then look, you go to a mall and you see moms pushing strollers around with kids that are 5 and 6 years old, right?
Yeah,
well, so
right.
I can keep an eye on him. Yet the kid's sucking down a Slurpee, right? And he's in a stroller at 6 years old. What sense does that make?
None.
So. Boy, that's the thing you described, a 5 or 6 year old in a stroller.
Oh, you've seen it, right?
Yeah, you're right.
I try not to go to malls.
Well, I don't
but
either.
You could see it anywhere. I mean, I don't really go to malls that often either, but I know exactly what you're talking about, Joe, even at amusement parks.
Sure.
Actually is true. They used to have, you know, I would think with cell phones and we're going to pretty soon start implanting little chips in our kids so in GPSs we can find them any place.
Yeah. Well, you know, fitness is pretty poor in adults, too. But, I mean, throw in the fact that in many homes the fast food drive-through is dinner and you have, an obesity problem there, yet the kids are getting less exercise than their parents did.
It's really remarkable. A mile in a minute and a half slower than their parents did at the same age. That's really a remarkable statistic, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And if your kid is eating 3 meals a day, one for each time zone, that's got to be a sweating gravy at Thanksgiving probably is a good tip. So how do you change that around, Dr. Mike? How do you fix that, if you can?
Well, I think, I do think we have to put some of this responsibility on the mom and the family,
sure,
to stress the importance of this, and then on schools to also stress the importance of it. But I think it's got to be a total attack. I mean, it is, how did we change smoking rates? Well, we'll find out from Stan Glantz that a lot of it was knowledge, a lot of it was, if you will, intent, effort, but a lot of it was regulation, banning it in certain places. Well, we've got to do the reverse, have regulation where, you got to park X, if you will, move the parking lot further from the building.
Mm-hmm.
You see that at your building, right?
What's
Everyone
that?
Fights to get the closest parking place.
Yeah, and absolutely. Christmas shopping, too. People fight for these parking spots that are closest to the mall doors. Taking aspirin, when should you take it, and what are the benefits of taking it when you should, Dr. Mike?
Well, what do you think the answer is to that, Joe?
Well, I take it in the morning.
Yeah, so the key is take it when you remember is first rule. And then second, if you can remember in the evening, that's probably better.
Yeah.
Because platelets, which this antagonizes, are stickier in the morning. But this study showed that just you would get a bigger platelet effect if you took it in the evening than the morning. Well, there are a couple problems. One is they didn't take enough aspirin, so you really want to take 162 milligrams, and maybe that lasts 36 hours the way we think it does. Secondly, is inflammation is also a big thing that aspirin quells, and maybe that works better in the daytime. So all they looked at was platelet adhesiveness or stickiness. They didn't look at whether there was a change in really strokes or heart attacks, etc. So we'll have to do more on this study because I don't think this study is complete. And so my own answer is the real thing you should do is take it when you remember to, and there's a slight theoretic advantage to taking it in the evening, but only slight. And if you're going to remember like you do to take it in the morning and like I do, I think that's the best time to take it.
Well, my morning is 12:45 a.m. That's my morning.
Wow, that's
so. Well, Joe, no, but you're still it is in your sleep period. It relates to.
No, I'm going to work at that time.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So you should take it in the evening, if you will, right before you go to sleep, or somewhat, because it relates to platelet adhesiveness during the REM period of sleep. That's when platelets seem to be most sticky. But again, this is a theoretic study, meaning it didn't look at heart attack outcome or stroke outcome. It looked at platelet adhesiveness. And one and two, they gave the wrong dose of aspirin, not a dose that's appropriate. But in fact, so we're going to talk about, you know, I'm really looking forward to finding out more about e-cigarettes and what they really are, what their risk is. But also, Stan Glantz was so key in changing smoking and secondhand smoking in California and in the country that maybe we can learn what we can do to get kids more fit from him as well.
Now, let me ask you this about other stuff. What if you're taking a statin for cholesterol, you're taking a pill for blood pressure, you take a multivitamin, you're taking an aspirin or other, you know, omega-3s, whatever. You mentioned a lot of different pills people can take. How do you split that up during the day? You don't just grab a whole handful of pills at night and just eat them all and or take them down at the same time, do you? I mean, what's the spread on these things?
No, just what I do is every time I grab a glass of water, I grab another. If I still have pills to take, I grab a few more. But in fact, I spread them out throughout the day. You know, I do take DHA, which is for brain and eyes, and lutein and zeaxanthin. They're in one pill. I do take half a multi. I do take 2 baby aspirin a day. I do take half a multi twice a day. I do take a probiotic, and I do take an omega-7. So, 2 omega-7s, actually. And so, in that scheme of things, and in fact, you know, we can talk about this some other time, but I do take a statin twice a week because of its reduction in cognitive dysfunction as you get older. But we can talk about that.
Just on mix and match. Can you take an aspirin at the same time you take a statin?
Yes.
Or you can. Okay. So there's nothing that's going to.
No, there are some that interfere with one another, but none of the ones. And by the way, I do take D3. I forgot to mention.
Yeah. All right.
And most multivitamins are best when you take them after you eat because it increases the absorption of fat soluble vitamins.
Oh, got it. All right. Udocs@gmail.com. Youdocs@gmail.com. E-cigarettes. How safe are electronic cigarettes? Where are we? Where should we go? It's a hot topic, and our expert guest is next with more on that on You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Thanks for listening, and stay well.
My story may help you. This is what happened. I was talking to my best friend. I told her I wasn't feeling like myself. I had pain in my pelvic area and bleeding that wasn't normal for me. Since it had gone on for a couple of weeks, my friend said I had to go to the doctor. Of course, she was right. Turned out I had uterine cancer, a type of gynecologic cancer. To make a long story short, by realizing something might be wrong and seeing my doctor right away, I received treatment. Now, we're confident I'll be fine. Please, please listen to your body. If something doesn't feel right for 2 weeks or longer, see your doctor.
Uterine, cervical, ovarian, vaginal, and vulvar cancers are all gynecologic cancers. Signs and symptoms are not the same for everybody. So get the facts. Get the inside knowledge. Call 1-800-CDC-INFO to learn more.
Knowing can make all the difference in the world. It did for me.
A message from the Inside Knowledge Campaign and the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
With the American Academy of Pediatrics, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin. It's the time of year when colds and viruses begin making their rounds through schools and families. Sometimes parents will ask for antibiotics, believing they will shorten an illness, allowing their child to return to school or child care quicker. But antibiotics are not usually the answer. Antibiotics are powerful drugs that need to be used cautiously. Antibiotics have no effect on viruses and will not reduce the length of the illness or the symptoms. They are highly effective in treating bacterial infections such as strep throat or bacterial pneumonia. But overuse of antibiotics can make them less effective when truly needed. Some bacteria strains have become resistant to antibiotics as a result of antibiotic overuse. The best way to treat a viral infection is with rest, fluids, and TLC. So feel free to baby your child who has the cold or the flu. Give them lots of love and care, but save the antibiotics for when they are truly needed. And for more information on children's health, visit www.aap.org. With a minute for kids, I'm Dr. Don Schifrin.
In the small town of Elmira, New York, a boy was born into an all-American family. The odds of him opening his own clothing store at the age of 18? 1 in 138,000. Excited to be a part of pop culture, he packed for the big city. The odds of finding someone to invest in his vision? 1 in 4.5 million. The odds of him achieving his dream in the fashion industry? 1 in 23 million. The odds of having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 88. I am Tommy Hilfiger, and my family is affected by autism. I encourage you to learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most. Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
If you've missed a show, the full audio library is at RadioMD.com. And now back to you, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
E-cigarettes. E-cigs, booming business, about $2 billion last I checked among smokers who want to light up indoors, maybe smokers who want to quit, and even young children as early as sixth grade. So e-cigarettes, where are we? Where should we go? What we need to know. Dr. Stanton Glantz is an anti-tobacco activist. He's also a professor at the School of Medicine at the University of California, San Francisco. Doctor, thanks for coming on today. Of all the things we've heard about e-cigarettes and all the facts we probably need to know about them, in your opinion, what's the most important thing we need to know?
Well, the most important thing to know is that while they're taking a puff of an e-cigarette probably isn't as dangerous as taking a puff of a cigarette, that you're still breathing in a lot of toxic chemicals. And many of the claims, in fact, all of the claims that are being made about e-cigarettes and their marketing are probably not true. E-cigarettes haven't been shown to help people quit smoking. E-cigarettes don't just emit harmless water vapor. They pollute the air with nicotine, with volatile organic compounds, nanoparticles, heavy metals, and that... you don't really know what you're getting when you're using them because they're not regulated. The biggest problem with them, though, is that people talk about them is if they were switching from conventional cigarettes to e-cigarettes. And about 80% of the people who use e-cigarettes, whether you're talking about adults or kids, are what are called dual users, and that is they keep smoking regular cigarettes at the same time they're using the e-cigarettes. And so they kind of get the worst of both worlds when they do that.
All right, here's Dr. Mike. Dr. Mike?
So when they get the worst of both worlds, now people say they have quit, excuse me, people say they have cut down to a great degree on smoking because smoking is so much more expensive than e-cigarettes. Are there any data to say that, or do we know
that?
Well,
the prices are very variable. And, I mean, if you go on the Internet, there are millions of people claiming that e-cigarettes help them quit smoking or that they cut down smoking. And, you know, that may well be the case. But when you look at the objective population level data, what you find is people who use e-cigarettes on average are actually a little bit less likely to quit smoking than someone using e-cigarettes. So what that means is that for everyone that e-cigarettes might help quit, there's one other person, and maybe more than one other person, where they inhibited quitting. And so if people want to quit smoking, there are established, proven treatments that can be used, counseling techniques, nicotine replacement, other stronger drugs for when it's appropriate. And people who want to quit smoking should use the proven methods rather than these products, which, after all, are being sold by tobacco companies who have no interest.
I should tell you, Stan, we do have an active smoking cessation. In fact, there are only five smoking cessation programs in the state of Ohio, and three of them are Cleveland Clinic-based.
Yeah.
Including one that we have over a 60% success rate with cotinine testing at 2 years, which means that the people have really stayed off for the
right.
listening
well,
audience.
So
people have really stayed off them.
Right. So people who want to quit smoking should do that. And the other big problem with e-cigarettes is it's kind of a wild west marketing environment. There are no meaningful restrictions on their marketing. And so for the first time since 1972, well over half the population wasn't even alive in 1972, we now have nicotine advertising back on television. And the ads for e-cigarettes look just like the ads we used to see for cigarettes in the 1950s and 60s.
You mean with the sexy babes and the...
Yep, sex, you know, rebellion, independence. I mean, it's just... a colleague of mine actually did a content analysis of e-cigarette advertising, and it's essentially the same as old-fashioned cigarette advertising. The difference is that the e-cigarettes have flavors and use all the technology that the cigarette companies developed to hook kids. So things which would be illegal to do if it was a cigarette, things like strawberry or chocolate or licorice cigarettes, are now banned, but you can get all those flavors in e-cigarettes. And that's, I think, one of the reasons that the CDC reported a couple of months ago that e-cigarette use was skyrocketing among kids.
And so do we know, is this a gateway to smoking? Do we have any data on that?
No, it's reasonable to think that would be the case, but we don't. None of the studies that have been done of e-cigarette use in kids are what are called longitudinal studies, where you follow people forward in time. And in order to answer that question, we would need longitudinal studies. What we have now are cross-sectional studies, which is a snapshot in time. And we know that there's a very high level of co-use between e-cigarettes and regular cigarettes. And we know that some of the kids who are using e-cigarettes are not smoking regular cigarettes, but we don't know which came first.
Now, Stan, one of the things you did a great deal with was get cigarettes out of California, if you will, decrease the usage a great deal, and mm-hmm. it's down to, I guess, 12 or so percent in California, and secondhand smoke, and just to give you the background at the Cleveland Clinic. We banned smoking anyplace on our campuses and then stopped hiring smokers, and think those are useful tactics to help rid us of tobacco. But the question is, what did you do that was so powerful in California, and what would you advocate that people with worrying about this do in a broader context? That is, do we need regulation? Do we need something that cuts down on advertising? Is it ethical to not hire people the way we have? What's the general feeling?
Well, first of all, on the area of e-cigarettes should not be allowed to be used anywhere that you can't smoke conventional cigarettes. E-cigarettes just don't pollute the air as much as a conventional cigarette, but they still pollute the air. And there are people who, non-smokers who are around e-cigarette users, have detectable levels of cotinine, which is a measure of that they're breathing in the nicotine, which is the addictive drug in both cigarettes and e-cigarettes. So to me, the very first thing to do is to include e-cigarettes in all smoke-free policies. Here at the University of California, San Francisco, where we have a tobacco-free campus, for example, e-cigarettes are included, and in fact, the entire University of California system is going tobacco-free in January, and that includes e-cigarettes. So I think
I should tell you, just to give you a role model of Dr. Cosgrove, who's our CEO. He campaigned with the state legislature and regents of the state, and in fact, 12 of the 18 state colleges in Ohio went smoke-free October 1st, and Ohio State goes smoke-free January 1st.
Yeah, well, that's a very important thing to do, first of all, because it protects non-smokers from all the toxic chemicals and secondhand smoke. But the other thing it does is it really says to everyone that smoking just is out, and that the social norm has really shifted away from one in which tobacco use was considered normative, acceptable behavior, and it's not anymore. And in fact, that's another threat that e-cigarettes pose to reaching a smoke-free society, because a lot of people are very concerned that they're renormalizing tobacco use, especially indoors. And there's no reason at all, regardless of what you think about how dangerous or not dangerous e-cigarettes are, there's no reason to reintroduce air pollution.
That's Dr. Stanton Glantz. We'll be back with him more on e-cigarettes. And your questions, udocs@gmail.com, youdocs at gmail.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Is your skin aging before your eyes? There is something you can do to reverse those signs of aging. I'm plastic surgeon Dr. Arthur Perry, and my solution doesn't involve a knife or a needle. It's a serum I created called Nighttime. Nighttime makes your skin smoother, brighter, and thicker with just one step each day. I've packed Nighttime with vitamin C and A, moisturizers, fruit acids, skin brighteners, and antioxidants. That's a lot of science in one bottle. But that's what it takes to make your skin look younger and more attractive. Until Labor Day, when you purchase two bottles of Nighttime, you'll get a third bottle free with free shipping. Call 855-940-1800. That's 855-940-1800. Or on the web, it's drperrys.com. That's drperrys.com. Put the word Radio MD in the discount box to receive three bottles of Nighttime for the price of two.
Sometimes people buy cookies as a gift for us to send to our soldiers. They tell us it reminds them of home.
Emily is one of thousands of Girl Scouts who will send cookies to troops stationed overseas.
Children shouldn't have to take abuse because they aren't strong enough to escape it. I want to give them a helping hand.
Alicia uses proceeds from her cookie sales to provide mentoring programs at a shelter in her community.
Selling Girl Scout cookies has taught me how to manage money, be responsible, and talk to other people.
Tanya wants to go to business school and hopes to run her own company someday.
On a visit to the food bank, I learned that in this economy, more and more people need help to feed their families.
Morgan and other Girl Scouts are starting a project to help get food to those who need it most.
Every Girl Scout cookie has a mission: to help girls do great things. Find your cookies now at GirlScoutCookies.org.
Are you always looking for places to stop and rest because you're short of breath, wheezing, or coughing? Who wants to live like that? See your doctor for a simple breathing test to find out if it's COPD, a serious lung disease. With treatment, soon you could be living more and stopping less. Visit copd.nhlbi.nih.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
Did you know only about 3% of the CEOs of Fortune 500 companies are women?
And of the 18,000 police chiefs in America, less than 2% are women.
So it's no wonder that only 1 in 5 girls believes she has what it takes to lead.
But did you know?
We can change that.
The time you spend with a girl now,
the words you say to her today,
can give her the courage, confidence, and character to become a leader tomorrow.
So speak up.
Get involved.
Nurture her potential.
Share your experience.
Invest your resources.
Did you know?
Together we can get her there.
Get started today. Visit togetherthere.org.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance. And that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
Don't miss a minute. Listen at your leisure, always online and on demand at RadioMD.com. You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
Dr. Stanton Glantz is a professor at the School of Medicine, University of California, San Francisco. He's been speaking out about publicly e-cigarettes and through his blog on the need to regulate e-cigarettes just like regular tobacco cigarettes. Here again is Dr. Mike Royson.
Stan, you were instrumental in decreasing smoking rates, especially among teens in California. Joe asked before what we can do to increase physical fitness. And is there any model that you can use from what you did with smoking to increase either physical fitness or make food choices healthier?
Well, I think the physical fitness issue is really, there are other issues there having to do with the built environment and time that people are given to actually engage in physical fitness, especially kids. I think when you're talking about obesity, there are many parallels with tobacco. The reason we have the tobacco epidemic is because a few giant multinational corporations have been making a lot of money selling cigarettes, which kill people. And in the food industry, it's also dominated by a few giant multinational corporations, where they found it just to be much more profitable to make unhealthy foods, foods that are high in sugar, that are high in fats, that are high in salt, than to sell foods which are not so obesity-inducing. And, you know, the one big difference, of course, with tobacco is you don't need cigarettes to live, but you need food to live. And so I think the real challenge we have in the obesity area is to recognize that we really just have to regulate the food industry and prohibit them from doing the kind of things which are creating the problem. At the same time, our agricultural policy, through the heavy subsidies that go to corn and other, which is used to make high fructose corn syrup, also makes the problem much worse. We really need to have an agricultural policy that encourages fruits and vegetables and healthy foods rather than what we have now. So and of course the food industry is fighting that tooth and nail, and in fact they're using many of the same organizations and front groups that the tobacco companies created and are still using to fight smoke-free environments and other kinds of sensible tobacco regulation.
So do you think, in other words, knowing that, and knowing that, I mean, it seems much harder to regulate food because we need it to live, and because, as Joe said, he was at a restaurant yesterday, and half of the tables had a bloomin' onion, which is the worst food in the world.
Well, I don't agree. I mean, most people eat, unfortunately eat processed food here in the United States, and you know the FDA just moved to ban trans fats. There's one thing we could do. If you look on the menu or on the nutrition label on foods, it'll say there's so many calories, there's so many of different constituents, and it'll tell you what fraction that is of the recommended daily allowance. There isn't a denominator like that for sugar. And I think if we simply added on the labeling for products the recommended daily intake of sugar so people could see how many of these foods are, you know, a can of Coke is giving you almost your entire recommended daily allowance of sugar. Just, you know, in fact, it's more than the recommended daily allowance. And that would put pressure on the manufacturers to stop putting things in these foods, which is generating the obesity epidemic.
But now what Koch and the other people will argue is just what they argued with Bloomberg, meaning we need freedom of choice, and who's going to regulate a 32-ounce can versus a 8-ounce can?
Well, I mean, the organization, in fact, I think it was called the Center for Consumer Freedom that went after Bloomberg, used to be called the Guest Choice Network, and it was set up by Philip Morris to oppose smoking bans. And, you know, the Manny State freedom of choice arguments, those are all exactly the same arguments that the tobacco companies have used. And as I said, I think the first thing I would do would be simply put a recommended daily allowance for sugar on all packaged products, because I think when people then saw just how much added sugar there is, they would start to freak out. And that would put a lot of pressure on the sugar.
Where are you going to get an RD, or a daily value for
sugar?
Oh,
it exists. I don't remember the exact number, but the American Heart Association has one.
For added
sugar. The World Health Organization has one that they've been working on for years and years and years. So that's easy. I mean, there is a number out there, and there have been pitched political battles over the years between public health and physicians groups and dentists who want to add that, and it's been kept off by the sugar industry.
No, that's right. In fact, they
food companies.
You know, they had sugar in the pyramid as a desired food in the health pyramid.
Right. And there's just massive amounts of politics sitting behind all of that.
Stan, any last thoughts? We're going to go to the tip of the week, but any last thoughts on e-cigarettes? We obviously, Cleveland Clinic, we treat them just like regular cigarettes. Smoking.
Well, I think that's exactly right. People, they shouldn't be used anywhere that you can't smoke cigarettes. And people who want to quit smoking should use proven methods. And the e-cigarette manufacturers should stop being allowed to claim that they're helping people quit smoking until they've gone to the FDA with scientific proof that those claims are true.
That's Stanton Glantz. He's one of the greats, and we should all give him a whale of a thanks, because he helped health to a major degree in America by what he did with tobacco and secondhand smoke. Thank you, Stanton.
You're welcome. It's been fun.
It has. We're now going to go, Sonar, to the tip of the week. And this is Make achy joints feel better, not worse in winter. Ask anyone with achy arthritic joints what they do on cold, short days, and the answer is stay inside and stay warm. But please add a third stay to the list. Stay inside, stay warm, and stay active. Keep your joints flexible by movement. That's right, keeping joints from getting stiffer and strengthening muscles to act as shock absorbers is a plus for arthritis sufferers. What to do? Go for a walk or ask for a stationary bike or We Too Fit this holiday season. That's right, put the bike in front of the TV. Never watch TV without being on the bike. You'll be less achy by New Year's and really ready for spring. Joe?
All right, Dr. Mike, thanks. This is You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show with Dr. Michael Roizen on Radio MD. Stay well.
Hi, this is Melanie Cole, show host here at Radio MD and a mother of two. I want parents to know about Great Start Life Insurance offered by Guarantee Trust Life Insurance Company. Great Start ensures the future insurability of your children. Now, what does that mean? Too often, people will get an illness or an injury at some point in their lives that afterwards can preclude them from receiving life insurance, and that can cause a lot of problems. But by insuring your children now with the Great Start Plan, the insurance that grows with your children, they'll already be insured regardless of future illness or injury. Find out all about the great benefits of the Great Start Plan. Go to GreatStartGTL.com and see for yourself why Great Start is, well, a great start for your kids. Peace of mind at GreatStartGTL.com. That's GreatStartGTL.com. For the Great Start Plan, go to GreatStartGTL.com.
Plan not available in all states. Life insurance underwritten by Guaranteed Trust Life Insurance Company, Glenview, Illinois.
You may already take omega-3s for heart and brain health, but what most people don't realize is that DHA is really the preferred form. Did you know if you take omega-3s, but your body cannot convert them into the preferred DHA form, you won't get much benefit? The ultimate DHA omega-3 would be water-soluble, so it's already in the right form for digestion. That's a game-changer. It would eliminate the fish burps, be good-tasting, and all-natural. It would be environmentally sustainable from algae oil, plus non-GMO and allergen-free. Well, I have some good news for you. Empirical Labs already invented this. And better yet, you can get a bottle right now for 50% off with a special offer at TakeOmega.com. This is the only water-soluble DHA supplement, plus it's vegan. So go to TakeOmega.com right now for a limited time savings, 50% off at TakeOmega.com. That's O-M-E-G-A. TakeOmega.com.